This is the voice you have learned to fear. This is the voice of terror. Again, we bring you disaster, crushing, humiliating disaster. This is the voice of terror, a secret airplane factory somewhere in England. Listen, the screams of the dying can still be heard. This is the voice of terror. Are you there, people of Britain, shivering in your cellars? Listen, Operative 41. The fuse is lighted. This is the voice of terror. Englishmen, do you still await your doom in your stupid, stuffy little clubs? It will come, I promise you. Operative 23, the time is now. We strike you on the high seas, as well as on the land. This is the voice of terror.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's December 27th, 2009. Time for your Gitmo Nation Media Assassination, episode 160.
This is No Agenda.
Preparing to be body scanned from this day forward and coming to you live from 5,500 feet in the snow just inside the Mariposa County line, Crackpot Command Center in Gitmo Nation, west, west, northwest. I'm Adam Curry.
And from northern Silicon Valley, where it's a slightly bit dreary, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the
morning. All right. The show has begun.
So you're in the snow, I take it.
John, this is crazy, man. The dedication we have for this program, I tell you.
So you're actually in your car?
Yeah, so here's the deal. So we had a beautiful drive yesterday, about 5 hours up to Yosemite. And there's really only one place to stay in Yosemite, and I don't mind giving away the location because I'll buy you a coffee if you show up. It's the Wawona Hotel, which is it's quite famous, actually. I think it's one of the...
What about the Kiwani?
The Kiwani? Maybe that's the one you were supposed to book. Maybe we're in the wrong hotel. Where's the Kiwani?
Isn't it the Kiwani?
No, this is the Wawona.
I thought the big one was the Kiwani. Was Kiwani.
No, the Wawona is huge.
Well, that church called... You got the name right?
Well, they recognized our credit card.
Well, I mean, what, you have a card there that says Wawona?
Wawona, yeah. It's the Wawona. Yeah, Wawona. Anyway, so the Wawona Hotel, it's big, you know, it's big. And, of course,
I've been to all those hotels.
Yes. So we had called ahead and said, you got internet? Yeah, of course we've got internet, no problem.
Oh, here we go.
So,
actually believing the guy at the desk. So, traveler's error number 414.
Yes. We check in. It was a beautiful drive. Have you ever stopped at the Kiwi Trading Post about 40 miles outside the park?
I haven't been there for 15 years.
Oh, well, I'm sure the same guy is still there. He's been there for 21 years. This is the place that, as he claims, parts of the movie Herbie the Love Bug were shot outside the gas pumps. And this is a guy from New Zealand who walks around with a six-shooter sidearm because, you know, the cops told him he might as well do that these days. And that's where he tried to get some snow chains, which he didn't, you know, I'd give them to you, but I don't have any right now. And we drive up, great drive, we're in the hotel, and of course there's no cell phone service. I didn't expect to have that up here. And, I flip on the trusty old iPhone, like, no networks available. Maybe inside the big house. I'm thinking like, maybe there's a place I can sit there and do it. No networks available. Say, hey, you guys got internet? Yeah, we sure do. You just got to drive up to the Redwood Cottages. That's about 5 minutes down the road. And if you sit in the parking lot outside of the meeting conference room, that's where you got internet. okay.
Great.
So, we last night in the dark, we drove up here, and sure enough, and I did a speed check. They've got a megabit up and a megabit down, so they do have in fact, John, the connection sounds better here than it does between San Francisco and the Buzzkill Bunker. Huh. I mean, the connection is outstanding today. So we're sitting in the car. We've got the heater on. I've got the laptop on my lap. I have, of course, you know, everything is battery powered, which was always the intent of my setup. So I've got the wireless mic strapped to the sun visor. I've got the slider control for volume on my left thigh. And then on the middle console, I have the
in the morning.
I have the jingle buttons. So the only thing I didn't have that I wasn't prepared for was, of course, a DC to AC converter, which is I believe is traveler mistake number 375, because I have one. I mean, I brought everything, man. I brought my VHF radio in case we got stuck in the snow so I could call on the emergency aviation frequency. I mean, I everything I could think of, I brought with me except for the DC to AC converter. So this will be a true test of the claims that Apple makes about their laptop batteries. I've got 2 hours and 16 minutes left on a full battery. Of course, I'm doing a lot of stuff.
You know, yeah, if we get to the hour, it'll be a miracle.
it literally is snowing. It's beautiful. I mean, the setting could not be nicer. And I've got everything I need except for a little bit. I need more power, Captain. I need some lithium crystals. And the stream is working. And in the morning to you, everybody. That's the situation for today's show, episode number 160. John, who is our exec besides Mickey? Who I have to put at the top of the list for arranging everything, including the hotel.
Thank you.
She's at the top of the list. Who else do we have as executive producer on today's show?
Well, we have, besides a gratuitous one, we have Daniel Rudolph is the executive producer, and he is from Dresden, Deutschland.
Yes, has he not donated before?
I think we have had a Dresdenite before, and I think it was him, and he gave us $242. But we have a second associate executive producer, Stephen again. Pelsmacher.
No, he's back again. He must have a man crush on us.
Well, he was irked about this not when I pronounced his name Pelsmachers. Yes. I didn't get that.
You got to get the S in there. Yeah, Pelsmachers.
And he's from Awans, Belgium.
Yes.
And he gave us 23456.
Oh, a great number.
Great number. And Stephen, we thank you very much, and especially for the note.
Now, wait, how about our friend from Dresden? How much did he...
242. So we beat him by $8.
And that's what happens on The Price is Right. You got to know how to play it, everybody.
In the morning, in the morning.
Sorry. I got carried away.
So that's our executive producers.
And it's very important that you understand that this is no bullshit position. I mean, this is a real credit. It's on an official show. It's in the show notes. You can point back to it. It's in the show itself, by the way, so anyone can listen to the program. And they'll know that you were a real executive producer of an actual piece of entertainment. Put that on your CV. It can get you gigs in Hollywood.
Hollywood it won't hurt. Let's put it that way.
Hollywood, Florida.
Eventually, it'll be in the internet movie database.
You should be able to get it. Wait a minute. Can you get credit for audio?
It has to be visual stuff. They don't do radio. Yet.
Yeah. Exactly. We have to work on that. So anyway, John. Merry Christmas to you, man.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you so much for your beautiful gift.
Oh, you like that?
Liked it very much. You know, it's going to determine the entire interior of our house. Everything now has to be red.
I figured it'd be a couple of pieces of spot art you could put up somewhere next to each other.
John gave us two beautiful pictures that he took himself. These are all tulips, I believe, John?
Yeah, apparently, yes.
Yeah, so...
I'm not a photographer of flowers normally, but these are from... The reason I gave them to you, because it reminds you of Holland, because these were taken in Holland at the Tulip Festival, which I went to last year during my stint at Queen's Day.
Yes.
And, you know, it's one of those things that everybody in Holland, I guess, talks about. Oh, yeah, the Tulip Festival. You go to this thing. It's for people out there who want to know about it. It's actually worth going to. And, of course, everybody in Holland feels this way, too. It's actually worth going to once.
Yeah. I went to it in 1973.
Yeah.
And right. I was like, cool. All right.
Once.
Once.
But it is like, it's like, I don't know, like 5 football fields full of
flowers.
Tulips.
Yeah. Basically flowers.
Mostly, yeah, flowers. There's some other flowers besides tulips. It's mostly tulips. And if you like taking, you know, photos, I mean, you take just like endless pictures from all sorts of angles with the sun beaming in and whatever of tulips. And, you know, it gets old, but, again,
Is it? Well, first of all, I feel bad we didn't get you a gift for Christmas.
You gave me, you should feel bad.
You're Scrooge. You had these things laying around for months. You were planning on bringing them over.
No, not really. I hadn't
they were,
made
no, a, what are you talking about? They were supposed to be a housewarming gift, and then they turned into a Christmas gift. So I don't feel that bad.
Well, no, they weren't hanging around. That's the problem. I just had them made. I had the printouts done on about 3 weeks ago, and then I had to take them to the frame place, and it took them 2 weeks. It was just about last week I got them back.
Well, it's really appreciated, John. It was very sweet.
Anyway, I should put them. I should have that stuff available for sale. I do have some good hanging art. After taking photos for 30 years, you actually accumulate a few decent.
Where did
shots.
You have that printed out?
I had it. I actually went up to Burt Monroy's house, the famous Photoshop guy, who's got this huge Epson, you know, this bed printer, this monster that prints art.
He's got one of those roll things, or
yeah, it's roll.
Oh, wow.
Roll. So it's a roll printer. There's an old adage in photography that if you can't be good, you can't do stuff that's good. Do stuff that's big.
Yeah. Didn't Ansel Adams follow that as well?
No, not so much.
But hey, isn't he from around? Didn't Ansel Adams live up here in Yosemite?
He spent most of his time where you are right now, probably in that same parking lot. So
on the Wi-Fi, uploading his porn pictures.
So I went up there and I printed a few different monster prints, and those were a couple. That turns out that the frame is the real expense.
Oh, gee. Why don't you just tell me what it cost?
A lot. anyway, so we got lots of news to go over before the connection dies here.
Yeah. What I wanted to do real quick. Which one's the best picture, Mickey? Hold on. I just want to retweet this picture so everyone can see it.
I didn't even tweet that we're
is
on.
Is the studio set up?
Maybe studio I should do setup. That.
Okay. Yeah, you tweet that, and I'm just going to... what is it? So reply V7. No, retweet V7. That's what I want to do. Here we go. Boom. There we go. What's that? Yeah, I'm definitely going to retweet them. Well, now that people have Mickey Hoogendyke, now they'll go and check it out from you. Maybe you'll get some new followers out of the deal.
Fine.
Yeah, cool. Have you retweeted? Have you tweeted, John?
I just logged in.
Okay. 2 minutes, 2 hours, 12 minutes on the official Apple battery timer. So we should be good. I mean, let me knock on wood. Bend over, baby.
Streaming at noagendastream.com, the No Agenda Show.
Oh, in the chat room, Adam is a dick. He needs to give John his plane for Christmas. There you go.
Might be some sort of a tax deal.
Fresh coffee. Yeah, I'd love some, babe. Thank you. Whoa. The studio door just closed, as you could tell.
That's kind of interesting.
I haven't done a show from the car in a long time, and to do it in this
broadcasting live from the car, Adam Curry.
I should do this more often, man. I love this. This is and it's snowing like crazy outside right now. I'm waiting.
Sir,
for that.
Are you on a Wi-Fi connection, sir? Open the window.
Open
the window.
I think everyone's quite aware as to what I'm doing here. The town is all abuzz. Yo, dude, Adam Curry's up here doing a radio show from his car.
What, are you in Maine?
Yeah, they're from all over the place up here. No one's really from Yosemite.
You think Yosemite Sam.
and he talked with a Texas accent. Anyway.
All right, here we go.
So the news without a doubt.
And also the distraction.
Oh, yes.
It's a combination story.
Well, hold on a second. Let me pull in the distraction of the week.
The distraction of the week.
Hey.
On No Agenda.
Look over there.
Yeah, I think I agree, John. It is a double story. So actually, it's three stories in one, so we should probably do the...
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
And do you think it could be considered real news as well?
Yeah, I think so. I think we got a triple play.
And now, back to real news.
We got a triple play.
Now, it's a miracle.
Now, what's interesting, of course, we're talking about the crotch bomber.
Yeah.
What's interesting, I woke up yesterday morning, and I first found out about this because the Dutch press was blasted. It was completely full front page. Dutch hero saves American plane. I'm like, wow, this is big. And, you know... And I'm like, wow, so this is, you know, and the whole paper is all about the Dutch hero, the Dutch hero, the Dutch hero. And they're, you know, he's a hero in America and he needs to get a medal. And I'm like, whoa, what is this? And there's claims that, oh, you know, the whole, all of American press is talking about our Dutch hero.
By the way, the Dutch hero has a photo on Facebook. Mm-hmm. His name is Jasper whatever. And he's a 32-year-old filmmaker, supposedly from Amsterdam.
Yeah, he has a little company called Go With The Flow Productions.
And he's his picture on Facebook where he's like in a private plane wearing a headset and a microphone with giving the thumbs up. Anybody gets to see that picture? John Gruden lookalike.
Who's John Gruden?
He was the former coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and now is a color commentator on Monday Night Football. Used to be the coach of the Oakland Raiders. Okay. And he's just a goofy-looking guy. As soon as I see this picture, this guy say, ah, John Gruden, he's Dutch. Is Gruden a Dutch name?
Yeah. Could be.
Anyway, that's just an aside. It has nothing to do with the actual story, which is a crock of crap. This is the most suspicious story I have ever seen. Let's just do one thing before we start talking about this guy.
Okay.
The crotch bomber. Besides the fact that all the information that came in at first was like it had something strapped to his leg.
It was firecrackers.
There was firecrackers. He had a pillow. He was coming out of the bathroom on fire. He was in a seat on fire. His crotch was on fire. There's a million different stories.
I hate it when they can't. I mean, if they're going to do this, at least put out one story. Just get it right the first time.
Now, here's the one that got me. The plane, I tracked down the times of the plane. The plane left Amsterdam around 8, came in. It was going to land in Detroit at 11:40, and I assume it did. So he probably got off the plane around noon. Within, I would say, 9 hours, and this is basically overnight, because in the morning...
Oh.
By 9 in the morning, they already had determined who he was, who he was related to, and that he had contacts with the
Al-Qaeda.
Same guy who did the Fort Hood shootings, that same guy in Yemen, coincidentally. He was in touch with this guy. All this came out almost instantly.
Oh, it's amazing.
How did they get all... I mean, these guys can't find anything. They can't find their asses with using both hands. But somehow, they get all this information within a 24-hour period, because the plane was going to land at 11:40, so it'd be 11 by before 11:40 the next day, and with all kinds of quotes from people. And if you start doing the timestamps, they're like 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, and these are like congressmen on vacation who are all, you know, the head of the intelligence committee had some we knew he was talking to Yemenis.
He was on the hot list. We knew about him. He was on the hot list. We were tracking this guy. We knew about him.
So I find that a little suspicious.
Well, so of course the number one and this.
And, but wait, one more thing. If you're investigating something crazy like this, why do you start? Why do a million off the record sources suddenly appear to give you information?
Oh yeah, anonymous, off the record sources within Homeland Security who did not wish to be named.
What kind of Homeland Security are we talking about? They can't even keep their information secure. Don't you do the investigation and then come out with something instead of leaking a bunch of dubious information out left and right as though it was already determined that you had this, it was already ready to go, plan was in place?
So it's obvious why the Dutch paper, and the Telegraaf, which is the big, you know, the main paper, the big rag, it's well known that, you know, their ties to the intelligence community, and they're basically just they just pass on whatever they're supposed to write, you know, whatever they're told. They're good little foot soldiers. So it's obvious why they blew out this all this big hero stuff, because God forbid anyone actually start to think about this this guy from Nigeria who was walking around Schiphol Airport for 3 hours with firecrackers in his panties and then was able to get on the plane with whatever, his pillow, his firecrackers, his C4, whatever it was supposed to be. This, of course, you know, is to, in some ways, to distract from the fact that Schiphol security, I mean, as far as all we know as Dutchmen, is that Schiphol is only supposed to let the drug couriers go through. They're not supposed to let the firecracker couriers go through. I mean, this is well known. The drugs are allowed to pass, but no bombs, okay? So apparently, the coffee has arrived. So apparently, he was able to get on with some kind of explosive device, which wasn't actually explosive. It was, to call it correctly, it would be an incendiary device, which could have just been his pajamas, for all I know.
Well, yeah, made in China, and, you know, they would catch on fire. So now, anyway, so they figure out what the stuff is, or at least what they say, and then so there becomes another discrepant piece of information here. The material is called PETN, which is also a vasodilator, which is used like nitroglycerin for heart patients, and it's actually chemically it's pentaethyl tetranitrate, which is an explosive that's used mostly in fuses because it has enough of an impact that it can set off Semtec, for example.
Right, but it's like a starter kit. It doesn't actually get you anywhere.
It can explode and it's very highly explosive, but I think you either have to have it in an enclosure, like a pipe.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Now, they have two different pieces of information that came. One said it was in a condom, one said it was in a little baby bottle, and one said it was strapped to his leg, and one said it was strapped to his crotch, and somebody said he was injecting liquid into it.
Yeah. Now, can't take a syringe on the plane.
Besides that, what is this going to do? I looked up this chemical, and it's interesting. There's a good Wikipedia article about it, PETN, or pentaethyl tetranitrate. You can look it up and read all about it, and it's kind of interesting. But I don't see any connection to liquids where you'd put some liquid in it, and the next thing you know, it'd blow up the plane. And I also found a reference to this stuff saying it would take you – to blow up a plane, it would take you like 2 kilograms, which is a couple of pounds, or a kilogram, which take a couple of pounds. And then there was other mentions of differing amounts. The whole thing seemed kind of weird. And why didn't he just go into the bathroom, lock himself in, and blow out the back of the plane? Why did he have to be doing it at his seat? What is the point of that?
And why, upon final approach, what's the point of that?
Well, he wanted to do it over American soil.
Well, he could have done that starting at, Maine. You know, he waited until the gear came down.
All this is questionable.
Well, we do know, of course, because the reports came out immediately as I arrived here in Winona yesterday. Picked up a copy of the Wall Street Journal, a fine Murdoch publication, so you know that the Ministry of Truth is printing that. And it's quite obvious that now, of course, the full body scanners have to come into effect. That's what this all boils down to.
This is to sell equipment.
Yes, it is. Maybe even by GE. I don't know who makes those things. Wouldn't surprise me.
But they may be owned by GE, but it's not. I saw those. I went through one once.
I've gone through one as well.
So they've decided to. This is definitely an attempt to sell product. And so anyway, so they got. So they set up all this new stuff. We got to do new stuff. We got to make people stay in their seats. Make sure we got to check them over. We got to look at everything in their bags. We got to make their lives miserable.
Yeah.
They make their lives miserable until they demand that we stop, and we can only stop by adding new gear. Now, here's an interesting thing that to me is these guys obviously aren't doing their job to begin with. I ran into a forum June 23rd, 2006. This guy goes on. It's a couple of stories here. The first one I'm going to read, it's got nothing to do with this particular incident, but I thought it was funny. Transportation Secretary officials grabbed Daniel Brown at Los Angeles International Airport, and this is 2006, dragged him off for interrogation, causing him to miss his flight. Brown was part of a group of U.S. Marines, all in uniform and carrying military IDs and travel orders. But TSA officials say Brown had been placed in the agency's no-fly list earlier after agents detected gunpowder on his boots on a previous flight.
Ugh.
That's Brown's combat boots. The previous flight was after his return from combat in Iraq. This time, Brown was eventually clear to catch a later flight to Minneapolis, where he's found his fellow Marines waiting for him. Another guy goes on and says, gunpowder on Marines' boots? How odd! So the third guy in the same thread says, I had a suitcase hit for PETM, PETN, which is this stuff. And by the way, PETN is the same stuff the shoe bomber tried to ignite and couldn't.
Now, what now? PETN, is that explosive? Is that real explosive?
That's the explosive. That's the, man,
so, but you need to combine this stuff, or you can just light it?
No, it should be, you know, if you...
But in order to get an explosion, doesn't it have to be contained, like in a pipe?
Yeah, hello?
A shoe is not really going to do it, is it?
Well, I guess, did it?
Or a leg?
Did it?
No, of course not. So,
and not only that, but they say this stuff may have been in a condom, which cracks me. That'd be a good one. Whoop.
So
anyway,
so
let me finish this.
Yeah,
I had a suitcase hit for PETN some 50 flights ago, and I haven't been flagged for anything I can tell. And he's bitching about it. Anyway, wait a minute. In other words, those little swab bullshit things that they come in, you know, they swab your laptop for. One of the things it looks for. Because they never tell you what this thing does, right?
Yeah.
But obviously, one of the things it can find is PETN. So they're already equipped to detect this stuff. So why are they changing any of these procedures when they have the equipment already and they're obviously not using it correctly or they're not doing something right? And why blame the passengers? Why blame you and me that we have to suffer now to the point where now they're saying that if you're on a 90-minute flight, heck with the... With the fact that you have kids that have to get up, you can't get out of your seat for 90 minutes or 2 hours. You can't get out of your seat from an hour when it takes off to an hour when it lands. This is just to get everybody irked, and they're going to write their congressman as well they should, and then they're going to drop a bunch of money on some other pieces of equipment because they can't. This is not allowable. And let me give you a couple of other things. You want to go to pet peeve in a second.
You want me to do it now?
Go ahead.
John C. Dvorak's pet peeve of the day.
These airline dipshits are just as bad as the TSA. Listen to these two. These are two kind of stories that didn't get a lot of play, but I ran into them. This happened right afterwards, instantly, because everybody knew we had to do something immediately.
Of course.
Listen to this. A Wall Street Journal reporter preparing to depart Saturday from Hong Kong on a Chicago-bound flight from United Airlines in Hong Kong said the airline informed passengers, and this is a long, miserable flight.
Yes, it's, 18 hours?
Something like that, or 14 at least.
Yeah.
Said the airline informed passengers it wouldn't have any entertainment aboard the flight or any other United flights in an apparent security measure.
Ugh.
The entertainment systems typically feature on-screen locator maps that chart the flight's path.
And you can listen to the cockpit, the flight deck on Channel 9 on the United in-flight.
So they don't want anybody looking at the map and saying, I'm over Tulsa.
Yeah, time to blow, time to light me up, time to light my crotch on fire.
Yeah, so let me just...
Wait, let's go another one.
Oh, my goodness. Were you going to let me in edgewise for 1 second?
Well, that's my pet peeve at the moment.
Oh, true.
One couple, which asked that their names not be used for good reason, said that during their flight to Atlanta from Managua, Nicaragua, Delta, another asshole airline, Delta flight attendants notified passengers that they could not place blankets or pillows on their laps.
Yeah, because you might be lighting your crotch underneath them.
And despite the fact that the plane utilized wireless internet, apparently bragging about it, you couldn't use your laptop during the flight.
So why don't we all just strip naked before we get on the plane and just walk around into the plane naked, strap yourself in, and shut up, slave! That's all. That's what they want. Isn't that the fight? Isn't that the end game here?
That's what it sounds like. Yeah, you know, so you can't use your laptop. Now, this will go over big. You can't use your laptop.
You can't
wear a lap blanket. You're going to have to freeze your ass off on the plane. And you can't watch anything. No entertainment for you.
John C. Dvorak's pet peeve of the day.
Or in other words...
You will obey me.
How does the public put up with this crap?
We have to write our congressmen and tell them
they're out of office if they don't end this now.
John, the reason why is because of the fluoride and the lithium ion in the water. That's why. That's why we put up with this crap. We're all dumbed down. We're like, hey, oh, that's okay. I'm sure we can play cards. Ooh, I hope the cards aren't too sharp because, you know, I could cut someone's throat with that. Well, they might be taken away from me. That's what's that's what's going on.
Yeah, do that goofball voice more.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, how about some dominoes? Oh, you might be able to throw the domino and hit the flight attendant in the head. Oh, can't use those.
And by the way, insofar as Al Qaeda is concerned,
you mean that fake terrorist group that doesn't actually exist? Yeah, that one.
Well, I'll tell you, they do have. There's something to that. Of course, there's some group that does coordinate things, but they all if that group, quote unquote, whatever form they're in, they always do simultaneous things. They do like six things at once. You know, they blow up five hotels or they blow up six cars. I mean, it's all, you know, bang, 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 bang all over the place to cause confusion like they did in Spain when they hit all those trains at once.
Trains, yeah.
It's not that one lone guy catching his dick on fire.
No. So there's more to come? Is that what you're saying?
No, that would have already happened. It's always bang, bang, bang within a few hours of each other.
Right.
So this guy had no connection to anything. He was a psycho.
Well, first of all, the Al-Qaeda, of course, was, if it ever existed other than what it stands for, the database, which was a CIA database of radicals that were funded by the CIA in Afghanistan against the Russians. You know, so if it ever did really exist... You know, then and by the way, notice the Yemeni connection there.
The Yemen thing that came up right
away. That's so coincidental. Oh, that's so nice, isn't it? Yeah, of course.
You have to attack Yemen. I mean, it's obviously there's something in Yemen we got to get to. Either the new oil fields. Hello.
Yeah, that would be nice. New oil.
Something. So we got Yemen. So there's an immediate Yemen angle. Okay. Out of the blue, by the way, this just began recently. If you pointed out a couple of weeks ago, we first noticed it. You know, we're going to send a few consultants into Yemen. Next thing you know, this happens, and this guy's hooked up to Yemen. The Fort Hood thing. Whatever happened to that guy, by the way?
Oh, who cares? He was awake and talking, remember? They had him talking about
What's
stuff.
What's he doing now? Is he at home?
The news media doesn't give a crap. No one cares.
But he had Yemen. There was Yemen. So now we got this guy, this bonehead. And then, of course, his dad's a banker, which makes it funnier. So I got to read you something.
I didn't know that part, that his dad was a banker.
Yeah, his dad's a major Nigerian banker.
I've got an email from his dad.
You did? Yeah. He's got some money stashed away.
Yeah, he's got some. I think I sent him some dough. Wait a minute. I have links to Al-Qaeda now. Oh, my gosh. But before you do that, John, let me just talk for 1 second about these body scanners and what the actual, and I had this conversation with Nikki last night, who of course has nothing to hide. Just, always remember, she has nothing to hide. She doesn't care. So these full body scanners, what they do is they're making a biometric profile of you. So it's not just a picture of you naked, which the guys are passing around at TSA because you know they are. There's some douchebag sitting there in the back and they're talking the headsets like, oh, that guy's got a huge cock. Let him through. He's good. Nothing else to see here.
Oh, you know they do that.
Oh, of course. John, you and I would. We'd be sitting there
Anybody
going,
would. You got to, you're bored. It's a boring job. You're sitting there for 8 hours. Holy crap. This guy's dick's got a knee on it.
Look. We should name that thing. Look at her implants. Oh my goodness. Give those pull her over for secondary. Give those a little pat down. Those are good. So the biometric profile is what this is really about. This is it's almost like a fingerprint. So this has always been my pet peeve of these biometric scanners is it's like them saying, oh, you want to fly? We need your fingerprint. There's no difference. It's like taking your DNA, and this biometric profile can be seen essentially from a satellite from outer space. So they could, if they want to, track you. Now, there is no immediate connection between you and the biometric profile, your identity, unless, of course, you happen to have your passport or your real ID driver's license or even your bus card on you or your credit card, because the RFID readers, which I'm sure are in the booth while you're standing there, they connect your actual identity to your biometric profile. This is worse than license plate tracking. and no one's ever talking about it. No one ever reports. Where, by the way, where are all the Silicon Valley tech reporters? Yeah, I'm looking at you, John. What do these things actually do? What is this biometric profiling about? What, it's not just to look through your clothes. It's actually making a biometric picture of you. Can we get a little more detail on this stuff?
Yeah. No problem, any minute. So I want to mention that while you're talking about that, for people worried about what he just said, which is the fact that they're going to be looking at your RFID tags, yeah. Go to Kenakai, KENAKAI.com, and pick yourself up one of his wallets.
Ah, one of the RFID Faraday cage wallets.
A Faraday cage wallet. They're not expensive, and they're actually quite nice. And he has one for passports, which I use myself.
Yeah, and I got to get me one of those.
And you put your passport in there and all the cards that you've got, and any RFID stuff is blocked. Now, it won't block the big, giant RFID, those big tags that you use to open doors, because I've tested it. It can, if you push it up against the thing, it can read it through there. But generally speaking, it won't let anybody from more than, you know, 1 millimeter away read anything in the wallet.
Hey, one more thing before
we're called data safe wallets.
Before we drift away from the TSA and their what they now call checkpoints. Hey, good checkpoint, guys.
Before we drift away, I also have another thing to talk about.
Let me just hit this real quick. I know we're all excited. Calm down. producer Jack Hochman said, hey, Adam, you know, you should do a weekly feature about the TSA because they're so proud on their website. They report exactly what they've done each week. And for the week of the 14th through the 21st, the TSA reports 13 passengers were arrested after investigations of suspicious behavior or fraudulent travel documents, i.e. passport in a Faraday cage. 17 firearms were found at checkpoints. Now, of course, there's no actual, that could be toy guns for all I know. You know, could have been replicas, could have been antiques. You know, somehow I doubt that if someone with a gun showed up at TSA that was actually intending some malice, that wouldn't have been front page news. But okay, 17 firearms. One instance of artfully concealed prohibited items at checkpoints.
And they're not supposed to be looking for that.
I love the artfully concealed. Sounds like freehollowbooks.com to me.
Yeah, freehollowbooks.com.
And then 18 incidents that involved a checkpoint closure, terminal evacuation, or sterile area breach. Good going, guys, but we didn't sniff the gunpowder.
Yeah, good work. So, that reminds me of something I was in the process there. I lost it. Never mind.
I'm sorry, man.
What was the beginning? What was the first thing you mentioned about that?
I've got to remember your age.
What was the first thing that was on that list?
13 passengers.
Oh, no, it reminds me of if you want to play a practical joke on somebody.
Yeah, at a TSA checkpoint, which is always a good idea.
I'm just saying, if you wanted to play a practical joke
on
somebody.
It's the place for practical jokes.
This is a place you could do it. This, if you're a fraternity guy, you're going to really think this is a great idea.
Yeah. Okay.
So what you do is you get, I think I've said this before on the show, because I still think this is one of the great gags.
First, let me get really high so I can do this right away.
So first you got to give, it has to be a friend of yours that's always reading big, especially guys who pack those big giant books.
Oh yeah, I know a couple of those.
You get some chemical supply, any place where you can get lead foil, get a big, piece of lead foil about 1 foot by 1 foot, and then cut out the outline of a revolver.
Yeah, this is a great gag.
In lead foil and stick it in the book. And, they may or may not find it before they pack the book, but whatever the case is, guarantee...
This is very funny.
They would... The alarms would go off as this person went through the X-ray.
You think? Okay. Some advice, as given on No Agenda, not actually to be tried out. Not really a good idea if you value your freedom.
Let's just go over something here. This is something I decided to read about this whole incident. Instead of reading about it in the American press, the European press, I decided to read it in the Nigerian press.
Ah, yes, a fine thing to do, John. Very smart. If I'd had any internet connectivity, I would have done the same.
All right, so there's a whole bunch of stuff here, in this, but here's what's interesting, and this you won't hear on your regular news, ladies and gentlemen, which is why we keep it begging for money. The timing of the attempted attack could be significant. It was 8 years ago this week that a similar attempted attack was launched by a British member of Al-Qaeda who tried to blow up a flight from Paris to Miami by igniting explosives in his shoes. Same stuff, by the way. And, of course, 8 years is the cycle. This fresh attempt comes on the same day that Taliban released a video of the U.S. soldiers holding Captain of Afghanistan. Hello? Mm. Did you know that?
No. I did not.
The Taliban just released a video.
Oh, yes, no, I did see that. Yeah, he's been captured since June or July, I believe, right?
And they released a video, but this is the bigger news, so that no one's looking at the video. But this is the part that you're not going to read locally. In less than 24 hours after this incident, American security forces were said to have stormed some northern Nigerian cities like Kano, Katsina, Kaduna, Jos, Jamfra, and Maiduguri.
Wait a minute. We stormed Nigerian cities?
One, two, three, four, five, six of them in search of Al-Qaeda-related outfits.
Oh, hold on a second.
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
This is unbelievable. And, you know, there's one other little ditty that just happened, John. At the same moment, coincidentally, and I have to give props to the Murdoch publication Wall Street Journal for putting the two stories on the same page. In a quick little flurry vote, 60 to 39, I believe. Of course, you can figure out who the 60 were and who the 39 were.
Huh.
Our government decided to remove all spending limits for the national debt, as well as remove all limits for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Essentially, now the government can be on the hook to bail them out for up to $200 or $300 billion, currently at about 60 each. While the CEOs' packages have also been negotiated, $6 million for each CEO of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and some other huge bonuses. So this all happened kind of under the same cover of the crotch bomber, which is what will dominate the news and all. I mean, the actual spending limit. The spending limit. I mean, this is how much money we've all agreed we should spend. They just, forget it. Let's just remove that. We'll just change that. That's no problem. We should be able to spend more. No big. By the way, it's for money we've already spent.
And, exactly.
And we invaded three cities in Nigeria?
Six.
Six cities. Are these cities, John, or are these like villages?
Well, I mean, they're probably, it says cities in this newspaper, but they don't, you know, the city is up for interpretation. Someone's going to have to look up a couple. Go online, look up Kano, K-A-N-O, and Katsina. Those would be two of them, and you can, you know, extrapolate from that. They're probably small towns, I'm guessing. According to this article in the Sun News Online, .com, which is a Nigerian publication, security force sources claims the CIA is apparently in Nigeria and not helping us much with those Nigerian scams, by the way.
Yeah.
Believes that the radical Islamist sects in these cities have been infiltrated by Al-Qaeda. But another security source claims that the CIA has been operating in several cities in the north since July, when the Boko Haram Islamic sect had a confrontation with the police and the army. So it's all hell's breaking loose in Nigeria.
But wait a minute, do we have bases over there? Do we have bases over there in Nigeria?
We will.
But I mean, were these troops or CIA that did these invasions? I mean, this is a core. You know, we can't get. So we approved 40,000 new troops to Afghanistan, which will take 6 months to get 40,000 guys over there. Meanwhile, within 1 second of the crotch bomber's attack, we're able to coordinate six cities to be invaded. This is not something. This is not a spur of the moment call from the White House. Like, hey, you know what? Let's go get those Nigerians now. Go. This was set up. This
is
orchestrated.
And meanwhile, we got this Yemenis thing going on too.
It's a quintuple whammy, is the way I see it, John. It's more than just the new security systems. It's more than just the out and out removal of all freedom. Sit down, slave. You can't get your carry on luggage. Next will be no carry on luggage. I guarantee you that. No using your laptop. You can't have a blanket, even if you're cold. What? You're pregnant? I don't give a crap. I don't care about you, slave. Shut up. And then we're invading cities in Nigeria. Now we have almost carte blanche for Yemen, because of course this guy was from Yemen.
No, he was in contact with that horrible guy in Yemen.
Yeah, same thing. So this is like all the and on the under the cover of night, we've raised our constitutional limits on national debt, and we've effectively given a complete carte blanche to all the mortgage related companies, because Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac back up almost every single mortgage in the United States. So we'll be paying for all of these bogus mortgages. You watch the mortgage market now heat up all of a sudden, and all of that go onto the books of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which we are directly responsible for. We own these companies. They're 85% owned by the United States taxpayer. So all of this happens in the span of not even 36 hours. And what you're going to see for the next 2 weeks, probably up until someone blows their fingers off on New Year's Eve, you're going to see nothing on the news except the crotch bomber. And I hope they call him the crotch bomber, because that makes it even that more funny. It's like Balloon Boy.
And that's I think that meme is set already as crotch bomber.
That's all you're going to see is crotch bomber this, crotch bomber that. You'll hear a little bit about the security systems and it's very important. We have to get new systems in place. Meanwhile, all this other crap is, you won't hear about these Nigerian invasions. I guarantee you won't read about it anywhere. Thank you, John, for being so smart as to, use a web browser. This is what any publication could do, but they don't. We here at No Agenda do. We take
now,
the time.
Now, the funny thing is about the whole crotch bomber incident. Besides the fact that it was there's all this discrepant information. I'm looking at some other stuff about the security transportation. Well, let's go back to the equipment. That thesis. If it's to buy these expensive scanners, which I've been through one, by the way.
Yeah, I've been through one.
They're terrible. And here's the joke of it. I've said this anecdote before. I'm going to say it again. You don't have to honk the horn. I go to San Francisco and say, you can either go to over there, or you're going to get patted down, or you can go through this device. So I go on the device. Hold your arms up.
Yeah. Hold above your head. Above your head. Above your head.
The thing goes around, and you get out, and they pat you down anyway. Just to, what they're doing? They look to see what they can find on you with the thing. And they say, and the guy pats you down and says, aha, there is a comb back here, just like it said. They're just doing it to confirm what they see.
It worked. It worked. The system worked. We found
your
comb.
So it's like, you're going to get patted down? Screw it. Just go get patted down. So don't go through that thing. It's embarrassing.
Well, sometimes you can't avoid it.
Well, anyway, the point I was trying to make, I'm stumbling around here. Let's get back to it. They'll be selling these things, but they're not going to sell them in all the airports around the world.
No.
It's only for the American market.
Oh, but don't worry. Don't worry. They're coming into Gitmo Nation lowlands because these are the guys that screwed it up. They let this crotch guy on the plane. So they already have
it. Nigeria is where he got on his first plane. They're never going to do anything.
He wandered around Schiphol Airport for 3 hours and then went through another security checkpoint.
Do we know that for a fact, or was it a connection? Because when I fly into a...
No. Before you get on the plane at Schiphol Airport, at the gate is where they have another metal detector and x-ray machine.
Okay.
At the gate itself. So, yes, and they confirmed this, so I'm going to have to believe that he could not be roaming around the tax-free area and then not go through some sort of checkpoint. So he had to go through that, but it wasn't a bomb sniff. It's a very unsophisticated checkpoint. It's just a metal detector and x-ray machine. And these people, I mean, God bless them. I'm well-known in Holland, and I'm always joking, and they're just boneheads. They're just people who just, they're working 25 hours a week. They got other shit to do. They don't care. Everyone knows. These are the same people who used to do airport security before the TSA and Homeland Security. It's the same people. They hired the same people back for twice the money. You know why?
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
So what I was leading up to, John, is that this is the type of reporting that you don't get on mainstream media. And I guarantee you that even if you turn on NPR or PBS, you're going to get everything about the crotch bomber and nothing about the raising of the constitutionally determined federal spending limit or about Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. That was done covertly. And in order to continue, in order for me to get a hotel that has Wi-Fi in the hotel room itself.
Good luck.
Yeah. I need you to help us out and support us. And there's only one way that we generate any kind of revenue on this program, and it's through donations from our listeners/producers. If you've been listening since the beginning, then you heard Our executive producers right up front, they donated the most money this week, which is highly appreciated. But it's even those $5 donations that come in. The ones that are on subscription, so we have a base, so we can, you know, we at least know we got like $500 a week. Is that about it for the $5 donations? Am I just guessing?
We haven't gotten to $500 a week from the $5 donations.
So even if you're making a larger donation, please consider signing up for a $5 a month as well. You know, you're essentially replacing one trip to Starbucks, if that.
Or a parking meter.
Yeah, in San Francisco. God forbid
you,
don't put
5 cents for 25 cents for 5 minutes.
I know.
Sorry.
I know. It's an outrage.
By the time you put the last quarter in, the first 5 minutes are over.
The first one, at least. The first minute is over. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So the way you do that is very simple. We set it up through PayPal. We wish we had a different system, but it works the best so far. You can go to noagendashow.com and click on the link on the right, or go to dvorak.org/NA. Sign up for one of our plans, our $5 a month. Those are really important to us. Or, you know, we'd be happy to receive more. And I think that after, we'll be following these stories and just do a comparison, do an A-B comparison. Flip on, Meet the Press. Turn on any news program today, all the Sunday shows. You see what they're talking about? They're going to be talking about new security machines and the crotch bomber. They will not be talking about invasions in Nigeria. They will not be talking about removing constitutionally installed limits on federal spending, or the removal of caps on what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who secure all mortgages in the United States, that they've been removed, along with some nice, tidy little bonuses for the federal workers who are the CEOs of those companies.
Or, more importantly, taking the entertainment off the Hong Kong flight in United. Those bastards.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's more important that we have entertainment. You're right.
So let's go over some of the people that gave us some money.
I have a Charlie horse. Okay.
Would being in that car, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Once you get out, it was actually not that much because it's Christmas. It was Christmas, so we got, you know,
the laptop's getting warm.
It's going to blow. Daniel Rudolph, Dresden, Deutschland, 242. Okay. He's one of our. He's the executive producer. And Steven Pausmacher, in Belgium, 234.56. Also, Aaron Tunstall from Clementon, New Jersey.
Hey, Jersey in the house. I was waiting for some Jersey to show up.
10101.
Yeah, we're smart that way in Jersey.
10101, a palindrome. Mm-hmm. And then we had a bunch of $50 contributors, and I'll just run down them. Oliver Kiesler from Köln, Deutschland, also known as Cologne, Germany.
Köln. We had Köln, as we pronounce it, Köln.
Beautiful town, by the way. If anybody is traveling and you get to stop in Cologne. Do it.
It's not like Frankfurt. Okay?
Oh, sorry?
It's not like Frankfurt.
What? No, it's not like Frankfurt. It's this beautiful town. Barry Wilson, it's got a great cathedral. It's got this old that was bombed to the ground, but instead the Allied bombers used it as a landmark, so it never got bombed. So you get to see one Gothic.
Hold on a second, John.
I think it's Romanesque.
You're breaking up just a little bit. John, hold on 1 second. You were breaking up there for a second. And I have a good connection. We're still streaming. Okay, try it again. Hello?
Breaking it, as a matter of fact.
No, you are breaking.
Hello?
Hello? But that's you. John? Oh, John? Oh, hello?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. No, I'm getting timeouts everywhere here. Hold on a second. Oh, boy. Are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah. You were breaking up a little bit. You know what's happening?
Your battery is so low that the radio is not getting enough juice.
No, that's not it. That's not it. Okay, I think we're back. You know what happened? A car pulled up right in front of the building that has the Wi-Fi, and I think we got some bad deflection.
Well, you want to move your car?
No. Oh, shit. Don't park there. Oh, Jesus, bastard. Don't park there. You still there, John?
Yeah.
Okay. Go through the pick it up from.
Like you're on AM again. This is an effect I've seen before.
It's okay. It'll pick up. It's gotten busy.
Last guy, it's Barry Wilson, New South
Now, hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
It's not going to pick up. It's getting...
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to move the, car, okay? Hold on a second. Can you just stay with me? Hold on, Mickey.
Yeah, why don't you? You should have been closer to begin with.
No, this is a good spot. Hold on, Mickey's going to hold the studio. All right. You still there, Jar?
He's pushing it, Jelly, pushing it. Yeah.
Yeah, hold on a second. I just got to move it to a different location.
We have a mobile studio now?
Yeah. Well, now we're actually driving.
God.
Driving.
There's rocks. Yeah, I'm going to park it behind this guy over here. Hold on.
Are you sure?
Can you still hear me, John?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, let me... Oh, what's this douchebag doing here? Wait a minute. I gotta roll it around. Hold on. I'm gonna try.
Another classic from the No Agenda show.
Hold on a second. If I turn it around right here and I put it right in front of this building here, we may be okay.
Good.
Yeah, hold on. We don't have quite the view that we had before, but
well, they were parked for the view.
Hold on. Let me just back it up a little bit. This will be better, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, not that we dropped down to sub quality.
Well, that's just I'm getting you fine.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
Okay. Hold on. All right. So, park. Lights off. Thank you, darling.
Well, he's driving around. Let me mention the other names.
Okay. Hit me with the names. We've got another. The connection is back.
Barry Wilson, New South Wales, Coffs Harbor, as a matter of fact. These are all $50 donors. Also, we have a couple of our Knights came in again this month. OKC Defensive Tactics and DUI-Help.com. Thomas Penton in Springfield, Oregon. Chris Engler, who gives every so often, and he's in Milton, Ontario. And finally, from Edmonton, Alberta, fine little town, Christopher Griep, G-R-I-E-P, and he makes out, sends a call out to Adam saying, isn't it great that my last name is the Dutch word
for flu. Yeah, I was just about to say that. That would, of course, you know, sounding like grip, as we would say in English. Griep, G-R-I-E-P, is indeed the Dutch word for flu. Yes, great. How much did he give us?
These are all 50.
Great. Let me give you some flu back.
So that's it for this week.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
That's not very good, John.
Well, it's because Christmas took a day out of the whole thing, and that was the end of it.
Well, that's not good, dude.
Well, we'll do better next before next Thursday, I'm sure of it.
Please, I hope. This was... I wish, you know, Mickey should have videotaped that, but she was too busy holding the studio together. That was funny. Just driving from one spot to the other. Because all of a sudden, it's like coffee break. Everyone showed up here. And you could literally see the car roll up, and I'd see the Wi-Fi signal decrease. So now I'm actually in front of this building, and people are like, what's he doing talking to us?
What is this guy doing? He's stealing porn.
Yeah.
All right, so I got a couple of clips that I sent you.
Good.
Let's play a couple.
Yeah, good. What you got going here?
Well, let's see. What do you have there on the list?
I've got Are You Mad? British Ambassador. Civility.
Okay, I want the British. Play the British.
Have to say it differently. You have to say, I'll take British Ambassador for 300, Adam.
So, the British Ambassador clip, this is the inquiry on Iraq. Apparently, C-SPAN ran out of material because every Congress took off on vacation, except the one or two guys sticking around to be the mouthpieces for the crotch bomber. But essentially, I was listening to this inquiry, which is extremely dull, but I picked up this one little tidbit just in this one clip, and I want to just highlight it for people so they know that this may be happening. Play the British ambassador. This is the ambassador until 2003 from the UK to the US.
Yeah. So the window they were given to operate in was so small, was it a window at all?
Well, so that is an extremely good question. I warned London after Bush announced, shortly before Tony Blair's visit to Camp David on the 7th of September of 2002, I said in a briefing telegram, again, which I can't find in the archives, but I promise you it existed. I said in a briefing telegram that, in principle, the British and American sides are agreed that we should exhaust the UN processes.
What?
Okay. All right. Now, what the interesting thing about this wasn't what he said, but it was that a side comment where he says, in a briefing telegram, which I couldn't find in the archives, but I know exists, apparently was in the archives and has disappeared with God knows what else. I think that the archives of all the, both the U.S., England, and every place else are being ransacked, probably as we speak. So we won't have any of this, information, except for the few guys that make these do this kind of testimony, and they could deny that. I don't know. There's nothing in here.
Well, of course. It was funny. I guess a couple of weeks ago, 20 million emails from the Bush administration showed up all of a sudden. Do you recall that the Bush administration had an off-site email system they used, and the guy who maintained it had an unfortunate accident in his private plane?
Yeah.
Remember we covered that? Never heard about that guy again either.
No, that's the end of that.
Nope. Yeah. An unfortunate icing incident.
Poor Bill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I think stuff got really easy when it all turned digital, because it used to be, you can't just carry out archives from 8 years of an administration or 20 years of the UN. That's too many boxes. That's heavier than gold. So now digital is just like, oops, RM star. Ooh, sorry. Didn't mean to do that. Didn't mean to hurt you.
So what other clips I got there? I got the...
Are You Mad sounds kind of good. Is that just like a little highlight jingle thingy there?
Are You Mad?
Are You Mad?
What sort of a wild goose chase are you suggesting?
It's ridiculous.
It's time to put a stop to this.
Okay. John, you were doing production. instead of wasting your time doing that, why don't you send everybody who's donated money an email? That would be more fun.
I'm going to do that. So now, what else is on there? Oh, here's one. I saw a Clorox ad, which had more promotion for H1N1, and also they slipped in a flu vaccine, kind of get yourself a shot. Meanwhile, they never mentioned Clorox in this ad. This is the advertisement one. You'll see it, H1N1, I think. And they play the whole thing, and it's this woman using different Clorox products to scrub down everything. I'm surprised she's not squirting the baby with this stuff.
Don't try this at home.
When it comes to fighting flu viruses like 2009, H1N1, there are several steps you can take. Wash your hands and get your flu shot. Regularly disinfect surfaces to reduce the spread of germs. And perhaps the most important step of all, talk to your friends about doing the same.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of spreading flu viruses like 2009 H1N1, let's help spread protection.
Yeah! Yay! Hey, John, I need to talk to you as a friend.
Hey, when did H1N1 become a brand name?
Dude, it's... What do you mean? It's a perfect brand name. It's probably the most recognized brand in the world right now. It should get an award for being the best brand. Lysol is doing the same thing, and if you ever have listened to No Agenda on the Mevio site, which has contextual advertising systems built in, it actually starts off with a pre-roll of Lysol because they, I guess, go through the show notes, and they see H1N1 links and swine flu, and bada bing, we get these all these targeted ads for Lysol. This is a very typical part of the whole program. Everyone's jumping on board. And by the way, anyone who has any kind of organic flu, antiviral, herbicide or anything but medication, who's advertising that on the web, they're being pulled down by the FDA. The FDA shames them. The FDA sends them threatening letters. So if you just have like vitamin D and you say, vitamin D can actually build up your immune against influenza-like symptoms, the FDA will have you take it down. But it's okay, for Lysol and
Clorox
to advertise using who knows? Maybe they've licensed it. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if you can license H1N1 from the CDC. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
As an advertising vehicle.
Sure, why not? Why not? There was something I wanted to mention. As we are at 1 hour and 5 minute battery time left, I have to say, Apple, not too bad. And I'm processing at 90%. Because of the stream and because of the recording and the Skype connection. So, so far, so good.
Okay, so I got one more clip, I believe.
All right.
Like
no, you don't. You don't have any more clips. Civility. Yes, you do.
So this this was a this is a meeting they had a bunch of these are guys that are talking are like the chief of staffs of various governors and just a bunch of second layer guys that you don't even know never heard of and but the, this commentary just irked the crap out of me because it's so bogus but I want you I just play it and you'll see what I'm talking about.
I think civility is an issue. I do think that we're a less civil society as a whole. I mean, anybody on the media side.
Wait a minute. Where's this from?
This is from a roundtable discussion about how you know various how various offices. In other words, how do they operate? You know, how does it? What does the head of chief of staff do? And how's things organized? And then what's changing? And what trends do you see? And you know, this kind of bogus.
So this
thing
is like an offsite. It's like a government.
Yeah,
offsite.
It's like a government. But I think it's open for people to listen in, and it's just bull. But I listen to this crap, and I'm going this. This is nonsense, but play the thing. They're talking about civility, you know,
civility.
How things have changed, have gone downhill because of bloggers.
Oh,
and in your
well,
face.
Let's go. Let's listen
and
to it.
And you know what it reminds me of what we do to make the show work, which is,
bitch
no,
and moan.
Punch people in the face. That was the cue for you to hit the...
Oh, you mean like our formula, the one that is so breathtakingly simple?
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Hell yeah! Hell yeah, and we do it while driving our cars with our hands tied behind our back.
Okay, so play this clip.
I think civility is an issue. I do think that we're a less civil society as a whole. I mean, anybody on the media side, the kind of blogs you're now getting, you wouldn't have gotten 20 years ago. So,
yeah,
as
there
a
were
society,
no blogs.
We're, for some reason, we're a more wise guy, in-your-face society, and I think some of that spills over into our politics.
Alan, I have to end at least on a slightly upbeat on that. I agree that the civility issue in the years that we were up there, going back to Hubert Humphrey and George McGovern, and over changed dramatically. But I will never, never forget one night, very late. We'd finished a budget, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock.
Ooh, we actually worked overtime
in the morning. Nobody was around. And we're going down those escalators to go down to take the tram back over to the Dirksen office building. And there were these two senators in front of me, both elderly senators, both having trouble walking. One was helping the other, and it was Jesse Helms and Claiborne Pell, helping them get on the tram. That still sticks in my mind as the type of Senate that we used to have. I doubt if I would find that today, John.
Oh,
yeah,
brother.
We'd be kicking them. We'd knock them down and then kick them in the
right.
gut.
That's right. Hey, old man. Look
old
out,
man,
old man.
Anyway.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You know, these guys they think they're gods.
They're so full of themselves, and this is so much bullshit, because back in the 1860s, they used to throw shit at each other in Congress.
Which is what we should be doing.
And it used to be on the stage in Broadway, and there's lots of documentation for this. Literally, the idea of throwing tomatoes at the actors was very common in the 1800s.
Yes.
People would come in with bushel baskets full of rotten fruit, eggs, and tomatoes, and if they didn't like the performance, they'd start throwing the stuff, and that's where they had to bring a screen down, you know, of some sort of gauze to keep the guys from getting killed. Now, what are they talking about civility today?
Yeah, these guys should be happy that we're only doing this on blogs and on podcasts. They should be happy because we should be punching them in the mouth. That's what we'll be doing in the 1800s.
They're the ones who set up the free speech zone.
Yeah, lock me up in the free speech zone as predicted by George Orwell in 1984.
So I found it extremely offensive to listen to these a-holes
bastards.
Going on and on about, bloggers.
No civility. They just wise guys, I tell you. They're just those Curry and Dvorak. They're wise guys. They don't help old ladies across the street like I did when I was a boy.
Anyway. That was my last clip. That's all I had. There's not, you know, except for the...
Well, there is something interesting that's happened.
Crotch
John.
Bomber.
There is something very interesting, and I'm going to try and tie this all together for you. You'll recall the Goldstone Report by the United Nations? We talked about it on the show, and it didn't get a lot of play in mainstream media. Go figure. The Goldstone Report was the report about the 22-day war between Israel and Hamas in the Gaza Strip, which, of course, took place just about a year ago. And the Goldstone Report summed up an inordinate amount of tremendous human rights violations, violations of any, the Geneva Convention and any others, for excessive use of force, targeting civilians, using civilians as human shields, using phosphor bombs over civilian areas. And of course, ever since that 22-day war, the entire area has had no water. It's been blockaded. So people are dying. Besides the fact that they were treated severely, completely inhumanely, on both sides, by the way. But of course, if you look at what the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, have, and what the what Hamas has as it comes to hardware, I think we can say there's no contest. So the Goldstone Report was denounced by two countries who are members of the United Nations. You can guess which ones. That would be Israel and the United States. However, in God bless him, in Gitmo Nation East in the United Kingdom, a fine upstanding citizen took out an arrest warrant, which, because the way the laws work, that can actually happen without government intervention. Of course, that will change in the next month. To arrest the Israeli Foreign Minister, Tzipi Livni, if she should set foot on British soil. And so, of course, she canceled her visit to the United Kingdom because, you know, that would mean a pretty much one-way ticket to The Hague, to the International Criminal Court. Now, while this is taking place, of course, the work has not stopped in with the settlements on the, I guess that's the, is that the West Bank?
I'm not sure where they are. And, I kind of lost track, but it probably is.
Well, Benjamin Netanyahu has now called every single ambassador, consul general around the world, every single one of Israel's ambassadors and consul generals has called them back to Jerusalem, and they are to be there no later than December 28th. They're recalling all of their diplomats because they are deathly afraid that this is going to propagate throughout the, let's call it, civilized world. And and they'll start arresting these guys. Now, this is bad news because even Obama, bless him, President Obama said, hey, you know, could you guys just stop that shit for a little while, please? Could you please stop, you know, kicking people out of their homes? Could you please stop the blockade? Can we, like, really work on a solution here, a two-state solution, which is what apparently everybody wants? And Netanyahu just refuses to do that. And now he's recalled every single one of his, what would you call them? They're not politicians. They're
consulates, the ambassadors.
Yes. So they've all been called back. And of course, this could mean that maybe they're ready for the final solution, which is something that's being mumbled about here and there.
What do you mean, final solution?
Get rid of all of them.
Get rid of all what?
All Palestinians. Wipe it out. Wipe it out. It's very possible.
Oh, pfft. Horse crap.
Okay. Well, you tell me why else they're doing all this, John.
Well, you know, like you said, there's. I don't know. I'm looking for evidence that they're doing it.
Of the recall? Oh, it's very simple. Oh, I'll tell you. There's the way they do it is they say, "Oh, we have a big meeting. Come on back for the big meeting." That's never happened. I can find you a link.
I'm looking at one link here on the conservative underground. Israel's ambassadors and consuls general serving throughout the world will discuss broad diplomatic and strategic issues.
Yeah, that's a recall, dude. That's a recall. That's how I'd dissect it. Oh, yeah, we've got a little conference on the 28th of December. Please. It's a recall. They've all been called back, and this Goldstone report has gotten legs in most of the world, and people are saying, well, this is not okay what happened down there. Operation Cast Lead. Nice. killed 1,400 civilians, tens of thousands homeless, 400,000 without water. Because they sent a couple of firecrackers over the border. And it's just
I wouldn't hardly call them firecrackers. They were rockets from a rocket launcher.
Yeah. And they land in the ground.
A term like that, unless you were trying to propagandize the audience. Firecracker is a firecracker. A rocket is a rocket.
Okay. You're right. A firecracker rocket. Because they don't do anything. They don't explode. They land and they stick in the ground. I've never seen, they punch a hole through a roof. You gotta look at it from both sides, John.
Yeah, well, why are they sending these rockets over?
Because they get no access to food, to water. They closed off all of their supply tunnels. The people are starving. Like, hey, give me a break. Take a rocket. I'm not trying to propagandize anybody.
The area where they're cut off is not where the rockets were coming from.
Well, I don't know about that. Where are the rockets coming from then?
They were coming from the north. It was from the Syrian area.
You're right. Let's just nuke the whole desert there. Let's get rid of everybody. Sick and tired of it. Anyway, be on the lookout for those guys all going back and not returning to their posts. I think we should keep our eye on that for sure.
According to Al Jazeera, Hamas sent 12,000 rockets over, which is hardly one or two. And I would assume one of them blew up. 12,000 seems like a big number.
It's funny, though. I've never...
And again, according to Al Jazeera, this information was left out of this Goldstone report. It's a lopsided report, obviously, and I don't know why the Israelis are recalling
it. That's not true. That's not true, because I read the report. That's absolutely not true.
Did it talk about 12,000 missiles?
No, it only talks about... It doesn't talk about the lead-up. It only talks about what happened during those 22 days.
Well, I think you should sit down and read the report.
I've read the report.
You have?
Yes. This is what I do.
Well, what does the report say that's so interesting?
It talked... Using children as human shields, using phosphorus bombs over civilian areas.
I know
the phosphorus
bombs are an issue. I agree with that, but I don't know.
A minor issue.
No, it's a big thing. It's a big deal. They shouldn't be using phosphorus.
And you see all the IDF wearing T-shirts, you know, like with horrible slogans on them. All right. Never mind. I'm sorry. Clearly you don't care.
No, I do care. I'm looking at this material now. And there's definitely something has to be done. There is some inequity, that's for sure. And I know that they blockaded these guys, and they had to put tunnels down to get food in.
And then they bombed the tunnels, so the tunnels are now closed. They're starving. They've got no food. They've got no water. You know, they continue to kick people out of their homes. Come on. This is, you know, it's funny because Mickey actually had a good point. She said, you know, this threat has been going on for 100 years. Not 100 years, 100. But 40.
No, more than that. More than 100. It's been going on forever. That whole area is ridiculous.
Well, it's not forever, because it's only been there since, the real problems have only...
No, even before it was there, this area was conflicted.
And what's going on? Is there anything of any value there besides holy spots? Is there any oil or diamonds or gold?
No, there's no oil.
Well, maybe that's why no one really cares. It's just people. Ah, fuck them. It's just people. There's no actual minerals to be gotten there.
It's farmland.
Yay. Something pointed out by one of our producers, Sepper Aman, I think his name is. He sent us a YouTube video, which I'll put in the show notes. It's from a news interview about a new pill, John, called... Lorcaserin, Lorcaserin, and it is finally here. It's the magic pill, the pill that will help you lose weight forever.
Every time they do one of these pills, they turn out to be deadly.
Well, yeah. Would you like the blue pill or do you like the red pill? No, usually, and it's funny because when you watch the interview, the guy, the CEO of the company, he's fat.
It's like, no way.
Yeah. It's like, dude, why don't you like take one of your own pills? Hold on. Let's see if the connection will hold up. 5 minutes and 30 seconds into it. Let me just see. If this will pull up, that'll be kind of funny. Let me go to 5 minutes and 30 seconds. So that's about here. Let's see if we can get this to work, okay? Hold on.
Yeah, they went. I'm reading the website from this company. It's Arena Farm. Locacerin hydrochloride is the most advanced drug candidate, promising oral agent being evaluated in a phase 3 clinical trial program for weight management. Locacerin phase 3 consists of three trials: Bloom, behavioral modification, and Locacerin for overweight and obesity management. Get it? BLOOM. Blossom. I don't like when they.
I can't get the video.
Behavioral modification and Locacerin second study for obesity management, which is Blossom, and Bloom DM, which is behavioral modification. In other words, the behavioral modification seems to be the big deal here. So, what's good is this pill?
It'll help you keep the weight off. I'm just on the lookout for this stuff.
You know, they should be working on antibiotics, these companies. We're running out of them. They're all crapping out because they've been misused over the years, and we're going to end up with people dropping dead from all kinds of simple bacteria.
There you go. All right, I think I've just about exhausted everything. I couldn't do all of my normal show prep, of course.
No, you're in the snow.
Yeah, there is one good little link that is under the Gitmo Nation heading in the show notes, and I do have some show notes from Esquire magazine, and the title is "What Do You Mean Obama Hasn't Done Anything?" And they list everything that he has done. It's a great list. You've got to read this. If you look at any end of year list, this is the one to look at.
Give us some sample.
Okay. A week before he was sworn in, Obama jammed part two of the bank bailout down the throat of his own party, a $350 billion accomplishment. 2 days after he was sworn in, Obama banned the use of harsh interrogation and ordered the closing of Guantanamo. A day later, Obama reversed George W. Bush's funding cutoff to overseas family planning organizations, saving millions of lives with the stroke of a pen. 3 days after that, he gave the green light to the California car emission standards that Bush had been blocking for 6 years. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. And then when you see, because of course now in hindsight, it's funny to see what that has resulted in. It's been a banner year for the Obama administration. It's just been great.
One of our producers, Clark, sent this note. I thought this would be a nice Christmas ditty. Last Christmas, I bought Obama t-shirts for my in-laws, who are Democrats but are also racists.
Nice.
We sent them back to Texas from D.C., and when they came to visit a few months later, they brought this one back. They do the photo. They probably turned the other one into a hood. The next time it came back, just the logo came back cut out. Of course, being the fine son-in-law that I am, I knew we would have to come up with something and send it back. My brilliant wife then had the idea to turn it into a pillow and, here's the kicker, have my 6-year-old daughter do the sewing. This way, the pillow is a gift from their granddaughter and her very first sewing project, and they will have to keep it.
All right. And it's the producers like that that make this show what it is. And we highly appreciate it. So the next show will be our year-end show. It'll be on is it the 31st, John, that our next show will be?
Yeah, it'll be on New Year's Eve morning.
Yep.
In the morning.
Yeah. In the morning. Exactly. I will be back. I'm sure the connection will actually be worse, seeing as I'll be on AT&T in San Francisco.
Yep.
So the connection will actually suck.
As opposed to poaching a signal from a cabin in Yellow Yosemite.
Yeah, which worked out pretty well.
In the car studio.
The mobile studio. Pictures will be a part of the show notes. And so we don't have to wish anyone any kind of Happy New Year, because we'll do that on the next show on Thursday. So coming to you from 5,500 feet, just inside the Mariposa County border, Crackpot Command Cell in Yosemite National Park, Gitmo Nation West, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where the rained yesterday, and nobody really cares much about the weather here, I guess. I'm John C. Dvorak.
We'll talk to you again just at the end of the year, Thursday, for early service right here on No Agenda.